أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الردة وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing about the makarim al-akhlaq, which are the highest level of moral teachings in Islam, and the hadith that we were talking about from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, as it is narrated by Sheikh Saduq in Ma'an al-Akhbar, that إن الله تبارك وتعالى خص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله بمكارم الأخلاق. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has specifically provided مكارم الأخلاق to رسول الله, to the final messenger, to رسول الله. That means the Holy Prophet, it's his specific attribute that he enjoys not just all the moral great attributes, but the greatest of the moral attributes are found in his personality. And then Imam says that فَمْتَحِنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ فَإِنْ كَانَ فِيكُمْ فَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. You have to test yourselves whether you have those مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ, those high level moral attributes or not. If you find it in yourselves, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically it's all the fadl and rahmat of Allah that if we have one of those greatest attributes, we must thank Allah. And of course we should also, Imam says, وَرْغَبُوا إِلَيْهِ فِي زِيَادَةِ مِنْهَا, and be eager towards Allah that in increase. That means Allah increases those makarim al-akhlaq. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned 10 of those which we were discussing. The first one called yaqeen. So let me just mention those 10. Al-yaqeen wal-qana'ah. Yaqeen means certitude. Certitude when we say, certitude when we say we are talking about yaqeen in the aqa'id. That means in the mu'taqadat, in the belief system, yaqeen in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the signs of God, and yaqeen in the shara'i' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the ahkam which have been issued by from Allah, the rulings that He has issued for us. So we need to have yaqeen in all the three aspects: aqa'id, the beliefs, and yaqeen in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means the signs, and yaqeen in the shara'i', that means the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first one is yaqeen, And second is qana'at, which means being content. We will come to qana'at, inshallah, very soon, as soon as we are done with yaqeen. And sabr means being patient and resilient. Wa shukr means grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just orally, but practically. Wa rida means being pleased with the divine decisions and qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every decision that He makes in our favor, every decision that He makes is nothing but full of wisdom and full of knowledge, and we need to be pleased with that. And husnul khulq, that means having good morality, good akhlaq. Wastakha means being generous, generosity. Wal ghaira, like I said, that ghairat cannot be translated into the English language. Washuja'a means the courage, and courage does not mean to be strong and powerful in your physique and your body, not at all. This is not the definition of courage in Islam. The definition of courage is something, it's the noor that is found in our qalb, which empowers us to always give preference to the to what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are happy, we don't go for something which is more than our right. If we are ghalib and overwhelm someone, we don't violate the law. If we are angry about something, we do not say or do anything beyond our limits. This is about the real definition of shaja'at, which will come to that point. And wal muruwa, which, like I said, also doesn't have any proper translation in the English language. We will explain when we reach there. So yaqeen is what we were discussing as the first of the greatest moral attributes, and yaqeen is something that is least found because there are least number of people who deserve to receive this blessing from Allah. That's the reason it is least found. And there is a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he says, the hadith says that the Prophet and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam sa'ala Jibreel an tafsir al yaqeen. Prophet asked from Jibreel, what is the tafsir of yaqeen? How would you interpret the certitude? How would you interpret the yaqeen? Jibreel replied, المؤمن يعمل لله كأنه يراه. A mu'min works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way as if he's seeing Allah. So whenever you are seeing something, you are always watchful. You never violate. You never go beyond the limits. So yaqeen, like I already mentioned in the previous class, that yaqeen has certain alamat and certain athar. And one of the alamat of and signs of yaqeen is that a person is seeing the realities and seeing the jannat and seeing the nar and seeing the people who are in the heaven right now, receiving the blessings right now, and seeing the people of the hellfire right now, receiving the punishments of Allah inside it right now. So Quran has already said, inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. Inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. Jahannam is engulfing the kuffar right now. So right now all the kafirs are in the hellfire, which we do not see them. And and like what the famous hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when somebody asked him that is'alillaha an yudkhilani al-jannah, one of the sahabi of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam came and said to him that pray to Allah that Allah sends me to the paradise. And Imam said, antum fil jannah fas'alullaha an la yukhrijakum minha. You are in the paradise. Ask Allah not to take you out of the paradise. He said, Yabna Rasulullah, nahnu fi dunya. We are in this dunya. We are not in the paradise. How can we are still here? We did not die. We are here. So Imam alayhi salam replied that Alastum tuqirruna bi walayatina. Don't you guys believe in our walayat? So basically This is the real meaning of paradise, that if we have the i'tiqad of walayat and the ita'at and obedience towards the concept, then basically this is what the real meaning of the paradise is all about. And everybody who believes and practices the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, the walayat of the Imam of this time, of his time, and the hujjat of his time, he is, you know, the hadith says, Al-Muntazir لِأَمْرِنَا كَمَنْ كَانَ مَعَ الْقَائِمْ فِي فُسْطَاتِهِ. Someone who is muntazir for the amr, for our amr. If you are muntazir for the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, you are كَمَنْ كَانَ مَعَ الْقَائِمْ. You are just like the person who is along with Imam Al-Qa'im alayhi salam, فِي فُسْطَاتِهِ, in his tent, in his khayma. So if you are muntazir, you are with him. Just like as if tomorrow you were present when he appears and you are supporting him and present alongside with him. What it takes for you to be with him tomorrow is the same practice of walayat. So if you have the same i'tiqad and obedience, you are muntazir and you are actually counted in the same level. So we discussed certain the alamat of yaqeen. Or being a person doesn't fear anyone other than Allah as the first one, doesn't have malamat over the people for what Allah did not provide to them, and the person has rauh, and in Allah ja'ala rauha wa rahata fil yaqeen, that Allah provided rahat and comfort. So it's an alamat of yaqeen is that when you have yaqeen, you will have comfort, you have peace of mind, nothing upsets you, nothing can upset you. Upset you in the sense that you may be very much sorrowful about what is going on around to other people, and you know, sorrowful over the pains, or sorrowful over the pains that you go through about your dunya, but you have no pain concerning your iman. This is what we mean when we say a person who has yaqeen, in Allah ja'ala rauha wa rahata fil yaqeen, Allah provided a rahat and comfort and rauh for the yaqeen. So in the yaqeen, so if you have yaqeen and certitude, nothing can discomfort you, nothing can cause pain for you. Of course the Prophet and Imams had, all of them had yaqeen, and they went through the highest of the sorrows and pains, but their sorrows and pains were not about their iman. Their iman was safe, their faith was safe. Their sorrows and pains were about their, you know, about, they underwent some of the highest levels of bala and tests and pains, and because of people were spoiling their life in this dunya. Just like when Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam was doing the tawaf of Kaaba, and Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, one of the very zalim rulers of Banu Umayyah, he, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was doing the tawaf of Kaaba. Hisham ibn Abdul Malik was also doing the tawaf. So, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did not pay attention to him. So Hisham got upset. You know, he's the ruler. You don't even pay attention to him. This is another value of Islam. Al-istighna'u anil-nas. That means you behave in a way that you don't stand in need of anybody. You only stand in need of Allah. This is another quality of a mu'min. Al-istighna anil nas, one of the values of Islam. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did not pay attention to him, and Hisham got upset, and he asked his men to bring Imam Sajjad to him, and his men brought him, and he said, well, Hisham said, well, lestu qatila abika. I am not the killer of your father. I did not kill your father. Why are you upset with me? Why are you not paying attention to me? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, well, look at the reply of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He said, inna qatila abi afsada bima fa'alahu dunyahu alayh. The qatil of my father, that means Yazid, what he did is that he destroyed the dunya of my father. Of course, you know, he didn't destroy the iman. Nobody can destroy the iman of Ahlul Bayt. All what he did, he was destroying the life and dunya in this world. So the killer of my father, what he did is that he destroyed the dunya, this life of my father. Wa afsada abi بذلك آخرته. And my father destroyed his akhirat upon him. So he has no akhirat. Everything is destroyed. So فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ كَهُوَ فَكُنْ, if you also want to be like him, be. So basically, who cares? You know, it's the matter that, you know, basically Imam Hussain alayhi salam did his side of the duty. So rahat and comfort and rauh and relief can only be found if a person has yaqeen in his qalb, and then they are always peaceful. See, and another hadith, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that al-mu'minu la yunajjisuhu shay'un. A mu'min, nothing can make him najis. This hadith doesn't mean that your dress cannot become najis, your badan, your body cannot become najis. Of course it can become najis. This is not what the hadith is talking about. The hadith is talking about something else. Al-mu'min la yunajjisuhu shay'un. That's why we turn to our urafa and fuqaha to interpret the, just like we turn to them to interpret the ayat of Quran, we turn to them to interpret the hadith. You know, in the hadithana, sa'bun mustas'ab la yatahammaluhu illa malakun muqarrab aw nabiyyun mursal aw mu'minun imtahana Allahu qalbahu lil iman. Our ahadith are tough. No one can understand it except a close angel or nabiyyun mursal or a messenger or a mu'min whose qalb has been tested by Allah for iman. So basically, these are, so that's why we turn to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and turn to our great scholars to come and interpret the hadith of Ahlul Bayt for us. So we find al-mu'minu la yunajjisuhu shay'un has been interpreted by our urafa. That means that in the real sense, the mu'min in someone who is fulfilling his obligations spiritually, and someone who is spiritually fulfilling his obligations, in the sense that he is always in the zikr and yad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min who is always in the zikr and yad of Allah, always in the remembrance of Allah. This is the mu'min who will be able to fulfill his obligations. If we are always in the zikr of Allah, in the yad of Allah, in remembrance of Allah, and this is what our scholars say, that if a mu'min is in the zikr and remembrance and yad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can make him najis. So najasat comes when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become ghafil, and that's where we turn to ghayrullah, someone other than Allah. So this is also a form of najasat of the qalb. So these were basically the three alamat, and then we come back to the athar of yaqeen, that means the signs of yaqeen. The yaqeen has the most perfect of the four signs. Akmaluha arba'atun. Four of the most perfect signs. Tawakkul and tasleem and rida and tafweed. These are the four most complete and most perfect athar. That means if your yaqeen is there, then you will have tawakkul on Allah. This is the outcome of yaqeen. Athar means the outcome that will come out of your spirituality. You will prove with your actions that you have tawakkul and reliance and trust on Allah after doing your duty. Tawakkul is never before doing your duty. You stay home, you don't do your duty, and you say, well, I am doing tawakkul on Allah. This is not called tawakkul in Islam. Tawakkul is always ba'd al-fariza. You perform your duty first and then you trust about the natija after doing your duty. So we find Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked his son that how much money remained. And his son said, well, we have 40 dinars, 40 gold coins. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to him, go and tasaddaq, go and give sadaqah. His son said, well, If I give that money as sadaqah, we have nothing remaining with us. Imam said, go and give it. And he said, give it. He went out and he gave. So the riwayat says that, فَمَا مَرَّتْ أَشْرَةُ أَيَّامٍ, that means before even the 10 days passed by, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave 40,000 dinars reached Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And then he said to his son, see, we gave 40 dinars and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned back 40,000 dinars. And remember what his son said, that we have nothing remaining. If we give it, we don't have anything. So this is about the one of the asar of yaqeen, that you have tawakkul. Of course, like I always say, that we need to understand the concept in its entirety and totality and not naqis and incomplete. So tawakkul, it does not require, you know, Islam is not asking you to give away at the cost of depriving your wife and children. This is not what Islam has asked you to do, that you give away the haq and right of your wife and children to a deserving person. No. You know, this is not right. Islam says give more than whatever is your need of life. You are entitled to keep it for yourself. That is your zarurat, the necessity of life. And what is more than your necessity of life, give it to others. This is the concept of sadaqah. But if you want to reach higher, Islam says we have the concept of ithar. Ithar means that you don't even care about what you need for yourself. You sacrifice your personal necessity and needs, and you give away what you need to those who are needy, because you are giving preference to their need over your own need. But then you are giving what you need, not what your wife and children need. So don't misunderstand the Islamic concept. This is not what Islam is saying, that we give away the food of our wife and children to others. So yes, we can give away our own food if we want to do ithar. And we want to go hungry, go to bed hungry, that's okay, that's very good. But otherwise, if we don't want to do ithar, even the lower level of saha and sakhawat is that you give more than what is your necessity of life. Whatever is more than necessity, you give away. But bottom line is that it is part of the concept of tawakkul, that we don't rely on what is available in our hand. The reason which blocks us from giving is that we rely on the money that is available in my hand. People say, well, you know, people think that if they keep the money in their hand, in their account, in their bank account, this is their protection. And actually the hadith says that حَدُّ التَّوَكُّلْ أَن تَكُونَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقْ عِنْدَهُ مِمَّا بِيَدِهِ أَن تَكُونَ مَا بِيَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقْ عِنْدَهُ مِمَّا بِيَدِهِ. The definition of tawakkul is that whatever is in the hand of Allah, you have more trust in that as compared to what is there in your own hand. This is how tawakkul is defined. So basically, you have money in your hand and don't rely on that. Rely on what Allah has promised to give you. So He will return it back. That's why our Urafa say that we believe in istikhlaf. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. What you spend, whatever good you spend, Allah is going to replace it. So, and our Urafa say that it's actually never goes, empty to be replaced. It's always filled up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never happens that you gave away and you are just gone forever and nothing would be replaced forever and there is a vacuum that will remain. It never happens like this. So it is always filled. So, but this is the reason why we don't have that tawakkul, because of course the level of yaqeen is missing. Yaqeen is missing. And so this is the first sign of tawakkul. And And the second sign and athar of tawakkul is taslim. The second athar and outcome of yaqeen is taslim. So if we have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will submit our affairs we always submit to what Allah likes. Taslim means you submit your affairs. Ala fasallimu lillahi amrakum, like the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that ayyuhannas rabbul alamina kattabib antum kalmarza wa rabbul alamina kattabib. You are like sick people, ill people, and the Lord of the universe is like a doctor. Fasalahul mariz fima ya'lamuhu attabib wa tadbirihi. So the goodness and salah and maslahat of the patient is in the knowledge and the tadbir and prescription which he prescribes for you. That's where your maslahat is. La fima yashtahihi al-mariz wa yaqtarihuhu. The goodness of a patient is not in what he himself suggests or likes. Ala fasallimu lillahi amrakum. Allah فَسَلِّمُ اللَّهَ أَمْرَهُ تَكُونُ مِنَ الْفَائِزِينَ. So submit your affairs to Allah and you will be successful. So rida is of course like being pleased with all the decisions of Allah, whether we are in the happy occasions, فَالرَّحَى, or we are in شِدَّة, in the severe and non-happy and sorrowful situations of our life. We should always be pleased. Sometimes we cry. This is natural. Sometimes we burst in tears. This is natural. Islam is not stopping that. That is not contradictory with the concept of rida. Sometimes we are, basically the natural outlets of huzn and sorrow are not prohibited in Islam. You know, prophets used to cry. Like I already mentioned in one of my speeches, that Prophet was crying so much on the occasion of the death of Ibrahim, his son, 18-month-year-old son. He was crying on his occasion. So when somebody objected to him, he said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعْ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنْ وَلَكِنْ لَا نَقُولُ مَا يُسْخِطُ الرَّبُّ. So, the eyes will cry, I will cry, and the qalb and the heart will feel the pain, and but we don't say anything that displeases the Lord. So this is what, that when we go through the pain, we can cry, it's natural, but we don't do anything, we don't say anything which is against Allah's decision. We always pleased with what He is doing. And the last athar and outcome is tafweev. Tafweev means that you consider your irada and qudrat and strength muzmahil, and nothing actually in the presence of the irada and will and strength and qudrat of Allah. If that is the case, then you have tafweev. That means you are not here to decide, make any irada or will in the presence of the pre-decided will and irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different matters of your life. So then you have the tafweev. You will support them. So these are the four most perfect athar and outcomes of yaqeen. This is even true for the Anbiya. We already mentioned this, the story of Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, when he said, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, O my Lord, show me how you make the dead alive. And Allah said, qala awalam tu'min, don't you have iman? And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, Bala walakin layatmainna qalbi. Yes, I have iman, but I want my qalb to become mutmain. So Allah said to him, Fukhud arba'atan min at-tayr, take four of the birds. And the Mufassirin have different aqwal about those four birds that Allah commanded and Prophet Ibrahim took, and he ground those birds, their meat, and put the meat on the top of seven mountains, seven hills. And he grabbed the heads of those birds, those four birds, with him in his hands, and he put the ground meat of on seven different hills. Now, Mufassirin have said that it were Taus, that means peacock, which is the alamat of zenith. So, and the second was a pigeon, kabutar, alamat of ulfat towards this dunya. And the third one was kharus, that means a rooster, which was the alamat of shahawat of this dunya. And the fourth one was a crow, kulagh, which is alamat of hirs and greed towards this dunya. So you have to basically cut the throat of these evil attributes. Remember, I already told you in the previous lesson that according to one of those aqwal in the tafsir, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam has ilmul yaqeen. So he already belongs to the level of yaqeen. But he wants to transfer, according to this call in tafsir, he wants to get transferred from ilmul yaqeen to aynul yaqeen. From knowing the reality with Dalil and Burhan, getting transferred from that state to the state where he can see the reality. So, in order to get transferred, then you have to go to the test. So you have to cut the throat of these four evil attributes completely, and then you deserve to reach the higher level. If we can cut the throat and attachment of that we have in this dunya about those four evil things. So, إِنَّهُ ذُكِرَ عِنْدَ النَّبِي. The riwayat says, إِنَّهُ ذُكِرَ عِنْدَ النَّبِي أَنَّ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ كَانَ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْمَاءِ. That Isa, the son of Mary, the son of Maryam, عليهم السلام, used to walk over water. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَوْ زَادَ يَقِينُهُ لَمَشَى فِي الْهَوَى. If his yaqeen was more, he would have been walking over air. You know, our Prophet can also walk in the air, which Hazrat Isa cannot walk. So, this is not part of the hadith, and I am explaining it to you. Prophet said if he had more yaqeen and certitude, if Jesus had more yaqeen and certitude, he would have been walking in the air. فَالْأَنْبِيَاء يَتَفَاضَلُونَ عَلَى الْيَقِينَ وَكَذَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So, all the Prophets of God, the levels of their superiority is determined because of the level of their yaqeen. And same is the case with the mu'mineen. If you want to determine which level a mu'min belongs, you have to see which level of yaqeen he enjoys. Or if he doesn't have yaqeen, or does he have the yaqeen, and then what level of yaqeen he has. This is how the levels are determined. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Even the messengers have levels, not all of them are not the same. Prophet Ibrahim ground the meat, put it on seven hills, and when he, Allah bi-iznillah, Allah combined and gave life back again to those four birds. You know, not a big deal for Allah. He provided life from Adam, from non-existence, when there was nothing available. He created the things. So, creating the birds from their ground meat is nothing. He created everything from zero, from nothing, from non-existence, from Adam into wujud. So, when the riwayat says Prophet Ibrahim was, sometimes he moved the head, he was trying, that other, the part of the meat which doesn't belong to this bird, he was trying to bring the head closer of this bird to that part, but it doesn't get connected because it doesn't belong to that bird. The part used to get away from it. So you know, it's all the hikmat of Allah which is ruling. And he saw with his eyes how different parts were rushing from all the seven mountains towards him and getting attacked one by one, piece by piece, to those four birds, and they became alive again in front of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So when you see something happening, you gain the, you become comforted, you know. But, you know, this level, of course, happens only after we have crossed the initial levels. Initial level, like Iman itself, has been defined as جَعْلُ الْمُعْتَقَدْ فِي الْأَمْنِ. That means you keep your i'tiqad in the secure place. So if you are already in a situation where you can protect your iman, then it is going to help. So basically, iman, al-imanu fawq al-islam wa taqwa fawq al-iman. Iman is superior than Islam, and taqwa is superior than iman. Wal yaqeenu fawq al-taqwa, and yaqeen is superior to taqwa, and there isn't anything more beloved to Allah and more mu'azzaz in Allah's eyes than yaqeen. And also it is narrated, when we are talking about yaqeen, it is also narrated that the kanz and treasure that we talk about, Prophet Khidr alayhi salam and Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when they went into that village, that area, that population, and Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam asked Hazrat Musa to help him straighten the wall which was about to fall down, and under that wall there was a hidden treasure and kanz for two yateen children. Kana abuhuma salihan. Quran says the father of those two was a salih person, and the riwayat says that it was not the father, the father of those two, it was either the seventh generation. Our scholars say in the tafsir, actually, it's not the, the scholars have mentioned this point, not the riwayat. So that it is the seventh generation, seventh ancestor of those two yateen children who was Salih. And some have even mentioned 70th ancestor. It was not the real father. So if we have the Amal as-Salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of our nasl and generations. So the seventh ancestor was Salih person, and Allah is asking two of the Anbiya to come and take care of the kanz and treasure hidden which belongs to those two yateen children. And they are straightening their wall. In old days they used to hide the treasure under the walls so that the treasure remains safe for those two children when they grow old. Now this treasure that we are talking about in the story of Hazrat Khidr and Musa alayhi salam, we have hadith that informs us that من الكنز الذي كان لغلامين يتيمين تحت الجدار صحيفة فيها ذكر اليقين وبعض آثاره. Among the treasure that was there hidden under the wall for those two yatim orphan kids, that Hazrat, you know, the Hazrat Khidr and Hazrat Musa straightened that wall to protect the treasure. Among the treasure, there was a book in which there was yaqeen and its athar mentioned in that book. That was part of the treasure. This is what Allah wants to protect for those orphan children, so that, you know, basically, this is the biggest treasure. Kafa bil yaqeene ghina. This is the biggest treasure that we can achieve. We have a few minutes remaining. If you have questions about the speech, you are welcome to ask. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-mayameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-mayameen.
Thank you.